Welcome back to another Dogbound Podcast, the solo edition, with your only host. What is my name? James St. John Smythe. Coming to you live from my closet. That's a true story. I'm recording this in my closet. This is what it's come to. You know, when I started this podcast a few years ago, I had a co-host, I was single, lived by myself in my house. We do it in my dining room table. And this is what I've come to. I'm in my closet by myself in my underwear, hiding from my wife. You know what my wife would do if she'd see me in here? In a chair and a piano bench, recording a podcast? She'd say, you know what? I don't think we should see each other anymore. You done, son. Yeah, fuck it. And today we'll be discussing Goldfinger, the ultimate Bond. Or at least it used to be. Is it still? Guess that's one of the things we'll discuss, won't we? What am I drinking, you ask? I'm really glad you asked that. Mint julep, obviously. And you think of yourself, St. John Smythe, not a big fan of the mint julep. It's the mint leaves stuck in my teeth. That's not my jam. I feel the same way. You know what I do? Make a simple syrup, and when it comes to a boil, I put in a bunch of mint and let that steep for like an hour. And then I use that with some bourbon and some club soda, and you got mint julep. Same thing applies to mojitos. Same thing. Same problem and same solution. And you can make that mint simple syrup with lemonade. You can do basil simple syrup with lemonade. There's no limits to the possibilities with all this. And that's my job here. I know a plethora of information about creative drinking. That's what happens when you're a functioning alcoholic like myself. You get great ideas, and you're welcome. And three cheers for me. So that's our little cocktail minute. That's what I call that. Cocktail minute with James St. John Smythe, your host.
With your host, James St. John Smythe.
Before we get to it, big Bond news, obviously. Amazon buying MGM. So now they're like half owners of Bond. What does this mean for Bond? I don't fucking know, and neither do you. And neither does anybody, really. I mean, everyone's like, it's the way it should go is nothing should change, right? Like, what's the difference between MGM owning half of Bond and Amazon owning half of Bond? The Broccoli's still own the other 50%, and they still have last say on marketing, distribution, casting, name it, video games, all that shit. But I'm a little skeptical about, like, is Amazon just going to stick to that? Like, they're too powerful to say, like, what, you're telling me I have no control over who's the next James Bond and what direction this series goes? There was some dude that wrote an article, I don't remember the name or the magazine or anything about what the actual article said, but he basically was like, I wrote for Dino the Day, and this was a unique thing in that, like, it's still a family business, even though it's like this multi-billion-dollar franchise. And there's no focus groups. There's no bullshit. There's no corporate shit. Like, they came in with the idea of, like, what if... this was for Skyfall, actually, not Dine of the Day. But they're like, what if... during that big, long speech with Silva, what if he, like, gets a little homoerotic? And Barbara and Michael were like, yeah, that's actually... I like that idea. That's kind of funny. Or creative or unique or whatever. That's a good idea. Do it. They didn't have to say, well, let me go test some groups and see what they're going to think about Bond being a homosexual or possibly a homosexual or this and that. It's like, no, that's a good idea. Do it. You think if Amazon was in charge, I mean, they'd have to go test all this shit. They'd have to go out on the streets, take this shit to the streets. You know how they do. And the guy was basically saying, I hope this does not change. Like, they'll do all of it for you. Just sit back and collect your... And count your fucking money. But I feel like Amazon's just too big. And that's the biggest franchise of the whole thing. Is Bond. You imagine that conversation after they bought it? Bezos is like, great job, guys. We've got Amazon. We've got MGM. So let's just talk first. Like, let's just start off. The crown jewel of this deal. We got the Bond franchise. So let's talk 007. What are we thinking? And the employee's like, great idea. I'm going to go call Barbara and Michael. Who? Barbara and Michael with Eon Productions? The people who They own the other 50% of the Bond films and they make the movies. They own the other 50% of the Bond films. What's that now? They own the other 50%. So you're telling me I have to, like, we both have to turn our fucking keys every time I want to cast a Bond or how we distribute these movies or any decision we make, we have to both turn our keys? Well, no, actually, they have the rights to do all that. Okay, well, can you send in like 30 employees? Because I'm gonna do a little firing. What's the next? What do we have? RoboCop? Right. But in all sincerity, like, nothing should change. We'll never have to worry about funding for the foreseeable future. I don't know if you've read up on Amazon at all, but they got a couple bucks to their name. So this MGM bullshit of like bankruptcy, no bankruptcy, these legal troubles, we won't have to worry about that again. So that's fun. We got that going for us. I don't know, man. I think long term, like, I don't know what Barbara and Michael's plan is. Like, Michael was young in the 60s and 70s, so he was like, you knew he was going to take over. And in the 80s, like, Barbara was in the mix, so you knew she was going to take over. I don't know if they have anyone like that. Like, are they going to keep this thing forever? Because I don't think they are. And what happens after that, that's going to be the really interesting thing. And Amazon is going to put in the biggest bid on to buy their shares, and then it's going to be owned by Amazon, and then it's a Bond extended universe. There's going to be a Dr. Kaufman spinoff series. I mean, name it, man. We're going to have some spinoff or a series or expanded universe about James Bond, as if we ever needed that shit. But the thing is, in their defense, man, like, their sole job is just make money. Cover all of our bases. Make sure we appeal to the most people we can possibly appeal to. And what you get is like this glossed over, I don't know, just like ho-hum movie. But it's not bad. It's fun enough. But it's not very unique or, I don't know. It's just not for me. And hopefully Bond doesn't go that way. Either way, dude, I don't give a shit. I'll be dead by then. Anyway. Hey, Cinder Smythe. I thought you were going to fucking talk about Goldfinger. What happened to that? All right, I'm here. I just watched it recently, and can I say, goddamn, I just enjoyed the hell out of it. I've been kind of a Bond, not really in a Bond mode right now. It's like the cancel and the, like, the movie's coming out, then it gets canceled, movie's coming out, it gets canceled. I can only get blue balls so many times, and I was actually watching David Zaritsky's video listing his top 24 Bonds, and he was having a Vesper, and it, like, reignited. I was like, okay, I'm kind of excited again. We got 6 months or 5 months at this point. I've watched 11 movies. I have 13 more. Like, it's a good time to be a Bond fan. So, anyway. Let's just start up. We get to start with a gun barrel and a PTS. Let's talk about that PTS. This is the last Bob Simmons gun barrel. I don't really enjoy a Bob Simmons gun barrel. The jump. I don't appreciate the jump. I love this PTS. I love the little song that they play when he kicks that guard right in the fucking beak. And this is how I like to picture Bond. He's just on some, like, when I'm not watching him, he's on some random mission. I don't know what he's doing. Banging girls. He's just saving the world again, like when the cameras aren't rolling. It's some PTS that has nothing to do with the plot. It's just a great time. He's in his white tuxedo. He's banging that girl. You better grab a mop for that girl because, I mean, they caught eyes quick. How does he even know this girl? They never really explain that. He's got some unfinished business to do. That's what fucking serial killers say. So he goes into her dressing room, doesn't knock, unannounced, just walks in, takes her out of the bathtub and starts tongue-kissing her. And sees from her eyeball that there's a henchman in there. I don't really know why, but maybe they're pissed about him blowing up that fucking building right before. So they get into a fight, positively shocking. You know, the whole PTS, electrocutes him in that bathtub. She's half dead from that club to the head. And Bond's like, that's nothing compared to what I would have done to you during our sensuous lovemaking. And he says, shocking, positively shocking, walks out, and we cut to the song, Goldfinger, by Shirley Bassey. Shirley Brassey, as we like to call her here. Song's a bit loud with all the brass, but I love it. It's the iconic song of all of Bond. I don't really like the title sequence. The projection on people's, like, hands and stuff. I'm not a big fan of it. They'll get it right the next movie. Thunderball has an excellent title sequence. So they're not quite there yet. And after the song, we cut to Miami. Miami? And Bond, as he usually is just getting a rub down, man. And Felix walks up. Man talk. I love that little gazebo bungalow, whatever, that he's in. That's all class. And that's on MI6's bill, too. And ask Bond to keep an eye on Goldfinger. This guy's up to no good. Keep an eye on him. See if we can dig up some dirt on him. We cut to Goldfinger. He's in his gold swimwear. And Bond, you know, pairs that nicely with his baby blue onesie. Which, if you're ever in the market for a baby blue onesie, I think it's Orlebar Brown. Or on the 007 website, you can get one for, I don't know, $8,000. The fucking prices they charge on that website. The For Your Eyes Only Navy T-shirt. T-shirt, I just said. $275. Go fuck yourself. The guy, the Bubbles Tickle My Jakovsky on Twitter, said that Amazon buys MGM for $9 billion. To put that in perspective, that's like buying 30 octopussy robes on the website. That's pretty much what it is, dude. It's like thousands of dollars for like a collared shirt. Get out of here. So anyway, they start playing cards, Goldfinger and this jerk-off that doesn't know he's being cheated. He deserves to lose all his money, by the way. I hope that's like his kid's college fund. And sees the window, kind of impressed by the creativity of Goldfinger's little plan here. And Bond just power moves his way in to his room. And we see old Jill Masterson, who was just so hot. Introduces himself, phenomenal Bond, James Bond. And starts making Goldfinger lose at cards. I don't think the Miami Beach State Police would look kindly on what you're doing. Actually, I don't think they'd give a shit, Mr. Bond. They'd come arrest him. Book him, Johnny. On what charge? Cheating at gin. I'd get you 6 years in the Miami State Pen. Get out of here. If I'm cheating my friend at my house on cards, which I do all the time, think they'd give a shit? So Jill falls madly in love with Card Sense, and I love it. If y'all have never seen the 1954 Casino Royale, his nickname in that movie, in that TV movie, is Card Sense Jimmy, and I just think that's the cheesiest, most terrible nickname ever, and I just love it. Old Card Sense Jimmy. So Jill falls in love with Card Sense. And they start banging. He goes to the kitchen, which they has the Beatles line, which started this. No joke, that Beatles line started this entire thing. Because me and my old co-host, Peter Frank, argued about that Beatles line, if it was an insult to the Beatles or if it was a compliment. I guess I didn't know what earmuffs were. Was that earplugs so you could hear it better, or earmuffs like you can't hear anything? So anyway, we debated for a while, and we called our other friend. And we got so drunk that we kind of forgot we called him. So next time at dinner, we saw that friend and we were laughing about it. And I said, you know, the next Bond movie is coming out a year from like next month. And we drunkenly said, we should watch every Bond movie again. I haven't seen them since I was a kid. Well, us three and another friend did. And we did all our top tens and everything. And it started this whole process. And now here I am in my closet by myself recording a podcast all years later. So I'm not sure if I'm happy or mad about that scene, but nevertheless. And so anyway, Bond goes to the refrigerator to get some champagne. And I never noticed this on the subtitles. He says, now, where is this passion juice? Now, there's such a thing as passion fruit juice. But I hope, against all hopes, that he calls champagne passion juice. That would make me just really, really happy if that's his nickname for champagne. So Bond gets knocked out. Good judo to the neck. And he wakes up and she's covered in gold. And he calls Felix and says the girl's dead. Dink? No, Jill. And Felix is like, who the fuck is Jill? I don't know. Some trick I picked up. It's not important, Felix. I got a dead body in my hotel room. Okay? And she's, like, covered in paint. It's not a good look for me. So get your goofy ass over here. So back at M's office, he gives M, as he always does for whatever reason, gives Bond all kind of shit about personal vendettas. Because he's like, all right, well, he killed that girl. So I'm going to go after him. He's like, this isn't a personal vendetta. He's pissed. And Bond should be like, I'm sorry, what was my mission again? Looking into Goldfinger, right? Find some dirt on Goldfinger? Well, I'm pretty sure I can pin him to a murder. Like, why the fuck are you mad at me? M's answer should be, oh, you know who did it? Who? Goldfinger. Oh, shit, that... the same guy I told you to look into? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that can... yeah, we can pin him for that, and then that'll stop his operation. Mission accomplished. We can go home. And then M says it's only because of Felix and M that he's not in police custody. The fuck did I do? Police custody for what, asshole? The only charge I can think of is too much hot Miami sex. So he leaves the office pissed, flipping birds. Moneypenny invites him to a dinner of angel food cake. And Bond says, man, that goes straight to my thighs, Moneypenny. Maybe next time. So he meets with M and the head of the Bank of England to get some more info about gold and how and smuggling all this shit. The guy at that meeting, the head of the Bank of England, look up that guy. He's 39. He's got gray hair and he's bald. He looks like my grandfather. He's 39. That's 4 years older than me. And M and Bond start being cunty about brandy. I don't know what they're talking about. So they're talking about smuggling and all this stuff and how they can get Goldfinger. And Bond's like, what about the murder? He murdered that girl. He's got his gold fingerprints all over that place. Fucking assholes. So we cut to the first Q scene. They got live ammo on there. That's not safe. And he gets his Aston Martin, which, you know, I'm not a big car guy, but this is the beginning and end. This is the Yahweh of cars. This thing is, like, unbelievable. I looked up buying one, actually. Not seriously buying one, but just curiosity and a little pricey. 64 Aston Martin. A little pricey. And if you buy an old car, like, you have to know what the fuck you're talking about with cars. If the transmission falls out, like, you can't just bring that to Jiffy Lube so Johnny Jerkoff can screw up the whole thing. Like, you have to be able to fix it yourself. So I guess I'm out for vintage cars. But that's neither here nor there. So we cut to Bond meeting Goldfinger at the golf course. Goldfinger's overdubbed in this movie, which I thought it because he didn't speak fluent English, but he does. If you look at the trailers, that was just like what they did back then. Like, they just overdubbed people just to do it. So Bond sees Mr. Bond, this is Mr. Goldfinger. And Goldfinger's like, this is that motherfucker who made me lose all that money and gin? And made me murder Jill? Yeah, don't try pinning that murder on me, because I could tell you that you made me do it. For her fucking treachery. And back then, I mean, it's the early 60s. You get an all-male jury and say I murdered this girl because of her treachery and her witchcraft. Yeah, that's 12 zip. Innocent. He didn't do a goddamn thing wrong. So good luck with that. And then he sees Oddjob. Oh, you must excuse Oddjob. I'm still training him as a caddy. Well, can you put him on a fucking leash or something? Because he's creeping up my afternoon, man. Why is Oddjob even caddying? Like, so your job description is a bodyguard. You'll work for me. Kill anyone who gets in my way. Use that hat trick on people. That's a good look. And I also play a shit ton of golf. So I need you to caddy for me, too. Aww. And then, I guess in the 16th or 17th hole, he drops that bar of gold on the green. Which I always thought, you know, greenskeeper's not going to appreciate that. And that's like 10 pounds just dropping a fucking dumbbell on the green. And then Goldfinger just gets a huge, raging, throbbing hard-on when he sees it, misses his putt. And they bet the gold bar or whatever the hell it is. I wonder if Oddjob's any good at caddy. Which club are you thinking, Oddjob? Ah! 5-iron, huh? Well, you're fired. It's like Goldfinger's the only one that can understand him. He's like Chewbacca. So Bond gets it in his head to, since he loses his ball, but plants a ball, and Goldfinger basically is cheating. So Bond's like, well, fuck this. And he talks to his caddy, and he's like, let's have a little fun with Mr. Goldfinger. And the caddy should be like, I'd actually prefer not to. He's technically my boss. He owns the course. And I think he might be a bit mad. He might be a little bats. So I'd actually prefer not to do that, Mr. Bond. When he's going to pick up his ball at the hole, you get to see Sean Connery's junk rewind it and press play and then rewind it again, press play, and then do it a third time. and you get to see Sean Connery's the shape of his penis. If you're ever wondering, if you're ever curious like me, did you switch him, sir? Then we've got him. Thank you, Basil Exposition. I know what we're doing here. And you're shouting it out so anyone can hear. Jerk off. So, Goldfinger ends up winning. And Bond's little trick of switching the balls works, so it's not technically his ball, so Goldfinger loses. And then Goldfinger's like, alright, dude. Bond's like complimenting his car. She's a booty. Yeah, cut the shit, dude. You fucked me twice here, and I'm a goddamn Bond villain. So, let's just leave it at this, and let's move on, because I'm going to fucking murder your face and your family if you keep coming around my shit. That's two times. Gin and golf. And I hate losing games. He's like, in case you don't believe me, here's my little buddy, Oddjob. And Oddjob just throws his fucking top hat and destroys a statue. And Bond's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Steel-rimmed hat, bro. Chop your head off. Then they leave and Oddjob crushes that ball in front of Bond's face. Jesus, psychopath. That's three times you freaked me out today. I don't think I like the cut of your jib, bro. So I guess Bond leaves and so does the caddy. You know that caddy got killed later. Goldfinger and Oddjob are back at the club restaurant eating club sandwiches and iced tea. Just in silence, just awkward. You could just feel the tension. And he got, like, emasculated in front of his henchmen. So, like, that's not a good look for a villain, for a henchman to see his boss get beaten. So it's just that awkward, like, oh. Like, you can hear each chew and each crunch of the potato chip. And then Goldfinger just goes, hey, Oddjob. Kill that caddy. Yeah, we forgot about him, but he was cahooting and cavorting with Mr. Bond. So kill him and his whole family. Leave witnesses, too. Clearly no one cares if I murder someone. Remember that girl in Miami? Murder that caddy. Yeah, he thought I forgot about that shit. I want you to murder him right in his fucking face. And I'll let accounting know that they can stop sending paychecks. Dear Ma and Pa, I don't know. Caddy, man. We've got some not so great news. Your son, the caddy, is tragically gone missing, but he was last seen cahooting and cavorting with known undesirables, according to his boss, Mr. Goldfinger. It was perhaps because of his big fucking mouth. And he announced to the whole entire golf course that Bond was playing a trick on Goldfinger. That's maybe what got him killed. Nah, I'm sorry for your loss and thoughts and prayers. So anyway, we cut to Bond follows Goldfinger to Geneva. Wonderful place. And this girl passes him up, which still pisses me off. Her just honking and like he's not going that slow. Can you imagine just being behind somebody and just honking at them? Because they're not going fast. Like, pass them up then. And Bond just almost leaves the mission to just go have sex with her. So Bond's checking out Goldfinger buying some fruit. I mean, you got to get your roughage. And the girl tries to shoot him and misses by like an entire mountain. Kid of the fruit stand doesn't seem too fazed by that bullet whizzing past him. So they start driving again and Bond just runs her off the road. And he's like, with his car, the little gadget in his Aston Martin. He's like, a double blowout. Like, she doesn't realize that's not a double blowout. They're racing for a while, and he's like, ah, fuck it, I'm just going to kill her. I wish he would have killed her. A double blowout. Defect of some kind. Nah, man. It looks like a chainsaw went through from the front of your car to the tailpipe. That's not a tire blowout. You don't see the gash all the way on the side of your car? And she's a real cunt to Bond, too. He's trying to say Bond, James Bond, and be all cool. Take me to the nearest garage. As quickly as possible. Bitch, I don't work for you. I'll take you wherever I damn well please, or I won't. Drops her off. I hate to leave you here by yourself. I can take care of myself. What's that you say? You say you can take care of yourself? Can you repeat that? Possibly put it in writing? So you're not going to die anytime soon in some stupid fucking way? You can take care of yourself? Okay, good to know. I'll make a mental note of that. In case I bump into you again. So, if you can guess what happens next, we cut to Ark Enterprises. Bond breaks in to spy at night. Realizes his Goldfinger's car is the way he's getting all his gold in. His car is full gold, and they melt it and whatever. And then they mention Operation Grand Slam. And Bond sees Tilly there, too. And of course, she sets off the fucking alarm with her dumb toy gun. She just needs to stop handling a gun. That's what she needs to do. That's my prescription for Tilly Masterson. And get a real name while you're at it. We shall name our firstborn Jill. And our secondborn... Till. So, once the alarm goes off, they have a little chase in the DB5, showing off the gadgets. Everyone's laughing. They're having a good time. That car explosion is my favorite car explosion of the entire series. It's worse than Dr. No. It is truly... He's just going down a mountain or a hill for a minute, and just it explodes to kingdom come. So they get out the car and start running, and Oddjob puts a hat right in Tilly's fucking beak, man. Like, right in between the eyes. And Bond's like, wake up, sleepyhead. She gone. And they take Bond hostage and let him drive his own gadget-laden car. That they just witnessed it. So he ejector seats that dude, which is kind of funny. You got that old lady who was so sweet in the last scene, wielding a machine gun, a fucking Tommy gun. Whoever's idea that was to have this sweet old lady shooting a machine gun is just, I mean, you just give him an award. He should have won the Oscar here. And Bond ends up wrecking his car, I don't know, because like a mirror and glare or something. That was kind of confused how this even ends. It ends kind of strangely. And he's held hostage again. Maybe they shouldn't have let Bond drive that car. Why would you let him drive the car? Maybe have someone else drive the car. Maybe just leave the car there. Or you're pointing a gun at him as he's doing what you told him not to do. Why don't you just shoot him? A lot of different things you could have done. But fuck it, huh? So we cut to Bond. He's strapped to a table. And Goldfinger knows who he is. He's British Secret Service and all that. Talks to him about how much he loves gold. Fucking love gold. Can't get enough of it. Love the color. Love how much it costs. Love how much it's worth. Can't stress this enough. I fucking love gold. And got that famous line. The famous line of any Bond movie. Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. And they keep him alive for, I can't remember what reason. It's like, if he dies and doesn't report in, then they'll send a new guy. And that wouldn't be good. I can't remember. It makes more sense now. Because at first I was like, I don't know what y'all are talking about. I think it's just an excuse to just keep Bond in the movie. But I think it makes a little more sense now. But I can't remember what the reason is. I'll look that up later. When the mic's off the record, I'll look it up and not share that with y'all. That interesting card of yours. I too have a new toy. It's a laser that I'm going to slice you in half with. Because I've had just about enough of you, dude. This is part three. I warned you yesterday. And you came all the way to Geneva. And you came on a nice little enterprise at night. Bond's trying to worm safe his way out of it. Operation Grand Slam. That was me talking about going to Denny's with Oddjob. Was he just going to talk shop inside while an actual human gets sliced in half with a laser from the tip of his dick all the way to the top of his head? I mean, do you imagine the bone-curdling screams you'd have been hearing? So they just knock him out with some gun instead. And we cut to him on a plane. But first, we'll get to the advertisements. Who has the naming rights for Goldfinger? And like I've said, the same advertiser has the rights to any and all. It's like a Kevin McClure. He has the rights to Thunderball. Each advertiser has the rights for their ads to be on a certain movie. And this one's Cum Buckets. I forgot about them. I'm not sure if they're still in business. Cum Buckets, folks. Has it been a while since you've been with that special someone? Is the wife giving you lots of guff? Do you want a new disease for your body to fight? Come to Cum Buckets. Offering the finest whores in all the land, Cum Buckets has a variety of black, white, Asian, fat, Latino hookers that will satisfy all your needs. As a special offer to our listeners, receive a 10% discount when you mention our name. And free balloons for the kids. That's Cum Buckets, folks, where you come first. Okay. Well, Cum Buckets, there it is. And listener question. One of our listeners writes, Hey, St. John Smythe. How's Peter Frank, your old co-host? Well, that's actually none of your business. So, there. I actually am having dinner with Peter Frank tonight, actually. I'm gonna get all fucked up. And you know what? I'm not even gonna tell him that you asked about him. How about that? What do you think about that? What do you think about that thing I just said to you? Anyway, back to the movie. Enough about you and your stupid questions. So Vaughn wakes up on a plane to Baltimore. Lovely Baltimore. That just screams Bond movie. Baltimore, Maryland. And pussy's in his face. I didn't even mean it like that. It just came out. waking up and pussy's in your face. Oh, if I had a nickel. He orders his drink for the first time. That's fun. Just a drink. A martini. And he's asking about... He's talking to Pussy about what she does for Goldfinger. Is it just professional? Like, he has to know who's banging Goldfinger and who's not. You know what always bugs me about... is the glass that she gives him the martini in. It looks like a champagne glass or something. I don't appreciate that glass. When I get a martini in a non-martini glass, you want to see, like, a six-year-old temper tantrum. I start pouting. And of course, I don't actually tell the waitress anything or the bartender. I just sit there and just sulk. Ruin everyone else's night. But I hate it. Those stemless ones are the ones that come in cocktail glasses. It's always like when they've run out of martini glasses because we've been drinking too many of them. I hate it. Can't stand it. I do like the little coupe glass that looks like a gimlet kind of thing. I like that. Like an old school champagne glass. I'll do a martini in that. Other than that, dude, keep that shit away from me. So Bond starts flirting with Pussy. You can turn off the charm. I'm immune. Okay, well, we'll see if we'll be taking a roll in the hay. And he asked the stewardess, did any of my luggage make it with me? It's the only time they ever mention how he keeps getting into these incredible clothes in the middle of all these missions. I guess after the third movie, they were like, ah, fuck it. Just give him a new wardrobe and no one will care. One of his best suits, a three-piece gray. I'm not a big three-piece suit fan, but obviously Connery makes it look good. I wore a gray suit for a wedding a while back. This was like a tailored suit, custom suit, which I just bought. I have two now, and worth the money, I think. Worth the money to buy one well-made, timeless, either like a dark gray or a navy suit. I think it's worth the money. This was gray, light gray, and I put on a black skinny tie with it, white shirt, black shoes. I felt like, yeah, it's like a James Bond kind of suit. And I was in good shape and looked good. I was at the pool that day, had a little color. And I was looking at myself in the mirror. I was like, I look good, but something's a little off. Like, I don't look quite right. I was trying to fool with the tie or the pants or the belt. I was looking at a picture of Sean Connery. And I was like, oh, I know what happened. I'm not Sean Connery. That's what went wrong. I'm not 6'2", tall, dark, and slim, and look like Sean Connery. That's why I don't look amazing. You know. But anyway, while he's getting into said suit, that stewardess starts peeking in at him. She wants to see that big, juicy dick that we saw at the golf scene. And then he comes out, and Pussy's like, we land in a few minutes. You want to play it the easy way or the hard way? And pulls a fucking gun on him. And Bob's like, what the fuck, man? Have I been like a bad passenger so far? Is that necessary? He's like, nah, man, I'm cool. Like, I'm drinking wine now. Switched from I'm sitting here lounging. It's very dangerous to fire guns in planes, Pussy. So then they land, and he's just looking for excuses to just say the word Pussy. You're a woman of many parts, Pussy. And then they find Oddjob with that creepy ass music. Jesus, someone could have put a fucking bell on that guy. Manners, Oddjob. I thought you always take your hat off to a lady. Maybe my favorite line of the entire movie from Bond. From Card Sense. And we see Pussy's pointed tip nipple pilots. And then they arrive at the farm where they put him in a cell. I'm not a big fan of Bond in America. But there's something about this horse farm that I just dig. I think it's the banjo music when they walk up. You know? Just a fun time lair. Like we're in the Beverly Hillbillies or Andy Griffith or something. Goldfinger walks up. Welcome to Ark Stud, Mr. Bond. Lovely animal, isn't she? Certainly better bred than the owner. And Goldfinger says, well, how's that supposed to make me feel? A hello would be nice. And Goldfinger goes to his little map room, and all the investors are there. The biggest fucking morons in the entire series. My least favorite characters of the whole... I hate these fucking guys. Is this how people see, like, American gangsters? They're playing on a toy horse. These are adults. Adult killers. That's what we... The first shot of them is on a toy horse. And they're like, go, you owe us $1 million, so pay! And they just never shut the motherfuck up the entire time he's, like, moving stuff in the room. What's with that trick pool table? Hey, turn those lights back on. I don't like this. What is that? What's that map doing there? What's on the floor? Is this a merry-go-round? I don't like this. I don't like being cooped up in here. What's that map doing there? Shut the fuck up! I'm trying to explain it to you. You child. So Goldfinger tells him his plan. Bond escapes because that idiot henchman and listens in on this whole plan. After Bond escapes that thing, you know, they look at those security cameras of the Asian guard letting him go. They look at the video and they look at him. They're like, well, you're fucking fired, man. So after he tells him his plan, Goldfinger just gasses them all. Just because that's just what you do. And everyone says, why would you say the whole plan if you're just going to gas him? Well, it's power. Power move. And that's for his own confidence, too. You know? You kill that many people, you basically knock out the five families in America. That's kind of what he did just now. I mean, you're feeling pretty good with yourself after that night. Cleaning up the streets of New York! Janitor comes in later. Oh, my God! Yeah, Mr. Goldfinger had a little presentation today. So we got a little extra trash to pick up. And Mr. Solo is the only guy that says no to the deal of... I'll give you $10 million, or I'll give you $100 million, or whatever the hell it is. We must accept Mr. Solo's decision. Please excuse me while I murder. Take care of Mr. Solo. Even the way they die is terrible, those gangsters. Like, that one guy runs to, like, just a wall. There's no door around. There's no nothing. He just runs to a wall and, like, does a spider, like a starfish, and then, like, goes down. Like, he looks like an idiot. I hate these gangsters. Have I mentioned that? I'm using the word hate. So Pussy finds Bond. Pussy. I had my family rolling the other day. I didn't even bring up Bond. We were just having dinner, and James Bond came up, and my uncle brought up Pussy Galore. And they were laughing about how they actually used that name for a movie in the 60s. And I just said, Pussy. And you could have sworn I was Daryl Hammond on SNL giving that impression. They were laughing so hard at me. I was like, guys, this is not that good of an impression, but I appreciate the laughter. Makes me feel good. Pussy. Pussy, takes care of Bond. She's walking him out, and he's like, we must have a few fast falls together sometime. And Pussy's like, yeah, I don't think that's a saying. Well, sure it is. Look how handsome I am. I can just say things, and people accept them. So accept it. Look at my face. When I say things or sayings, they're sayings. It's a new saying I just made up. Look how good I look in this suit. Okay, I guess that's what it's like, just being crazy good looking. You just get to make up like sayings and people just accept them even though they don't make any sense. We must have a few fast falls together, Pussy. Oh, okay. One of my favorite lines too is right after that, he confronts Goldfinger and he's like, Operation Grand Slam, I did enjoy your briefing. And you think like he's caught, he's going to like have a panic look on his face. And he just looks at Bond for a second and just goes, so did I. And just walks away. It was a gotcha question by Bond. He was just going for the reaction. And Goldfinger, unfazed. Yeah, go fuck yourself. I enjoyed my presentation so much more than you. And you didn't even get to see the gassing I did. Just imagine how much more you would have liked it then. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Solo gets killed by Oddjob too. Just shot. I would have preferred if he just turned around and used that hat at close range. Just blood splattered everywhere. Who thought of that hat idea? Was that in the book? I don't even remember. He might have had a steel rim hat, but I can't remember if he like used it ever. I read the book, but I can't remember. You know, part of me wanted to look it up, but then part of me just wasn't that interested. So Goldfinger tells Bond his real plan, or he leads, kind of lets Bond come up with it himself. And it's to blow up a bomb in Fort Knox, not to rob Fort Knox. And then the nuclear bomb well, you can't touch this gold for whatever, 50-something years, and that makes Goldfinger's gold that much more valuable, which is just fucking brilliant. Like, not even a question, the best villain plan of the entire series. I love when Goldfinger's talking to Pussy. Your share of Operation Grand Slam will make you a very rich woman, my dear. Why else would I do it? Oh, I don't know. I thought maybe because you liked me. Thought maybe we could run away together when this is done. Live in a gold palace. Ah, that's stupid. Never mind. That's stupid. And Goldfinger's like, yeah. You'll be there to see for yourself, too, Mr. Bond. Too close for comfort, I'm afraid. Oh, so you're planning on nuclear bombing me to death? You're going to tie me to a nuclear bomb and then set it off? And just turn me to, like, I don't know, what's finer than dust? I mean, like, truly incinerating me. That is the way to go. So then Goldfinger basically whores off Pussy, because he sees those FBI people there. And Bond, I suggest you change into something more suitable. I'm thinking lavender? Maybe velvet lavender? You got something like that in the shed? Yeah, I think I could do that. Let me start chatting. Wonderful place Mr. Goldfinger has here. Too bad it's all going to end tomorrow. He's quite mad, you know. And this is like news to Pussy. She's like, oh, I never thought of that like that. What did you think was going to happen, dude? He's setting off a bomb. And then Bond just, like, I don't know, rapes her in the barn. Not only does he have a license to kill, he's got a license to rape. And you can't buy something like that. But in James's defense, man, I mean, she wants a piece of old Card Sense. Card Sense. What a catchy nickname. Why do you call him Card Sense? Because he's got a lot of sense when he's playing cards. So we call him Card Sense. Card Sense Jimmy. Ah, good one. So we cut to Pussy starting the planes, and they fake gas everybody. And everybody just sells it so well. I can't explain it to you. Just go watch the fucking clip, because this is the most ridiculous looking pass out of 60,000 people I've ever seen. And you can't just fly over Fort Knox. I want to say, like, during production, they were going apeshit because they were, like, about to take off from an airport and didn't get confirmation from somebody, like the goddamn president. You can't just fly over Fort Knox. You'll die. And then they use that same laser from earlier to break in, because everyone's passed out. And they wheel the nuke in, as you do. And then everyone wakes up from their fake gas. And the Americans attack. Which, and possibly, you know, it's got to be the best villain move ever. Goldfinger gets out of his clothes, and underneath it is an American general's uniform. And then turns around and kills all his allies. And then, after that, turns around and kills all the Americans, too. Like, that is... I mean, you want to talk about some high-level paranoia when he was getting dressed that day in his closet. Oddjob, can you get me a American general uniform? It's for Halloween later. Just give it to me. They look at him like, yep, American general, all right. Standard issue, solid gold revolver. Yeah, that's what they all get. So, we cut to Oddjob just kills the dude that's trying to escape the bomb room. Once he knows, like, the jig's up, he's like, fuck this. I'm out of here, man. Goldfinger's caught. I'm not going to get paid. I'm leaving. And Oddjob's like, the hell you are. And throws him off the fucking fifth floor. And then Bond gets the keys from him to unlock his handcuffs. And Oddjob starts running down the stairs as Bond's trying to do this. One of the best little, like, tense scenes. The fear boner rivals that of Goldfinger's boner when that gold falls, when that gold gets dropped at the golf course. That's the kind of fear boner I have watching Oddjob run down as Bond's trying to get out of those handcuffs. And then they have a little fight, Bond and Oddjob. His first throw is just horrific. It might be 12 feet above Bond's head. I think Oddjob's been drinking. I can't prove it. And then Bond just conveniently finds this metal pole and starts swinging it at him. He gets a little spooked when Bond gets Oddjob's hat. And then Oddjob goes to get his hat that Bond threw. And then as he gets it, Bond electrocutes the metal and Oddjob dies. So there you go. And then they defuse the bomb. He opens up the thing. He's like, the fuck? It's like a million wires in here. Found the green one. There's a bunch of green ones. And I mean, this dude just comes up and just defuses it. And Bond's like, who the fuck are you? Mr. First Scene guy? It couldn't have been like a Felix or somebody to do that? I don't know who the fuck that guy is. And he's like, man, Pussy Galore must have saved the whole thing. I wonder what made her call Washington. And Bond's like, how familiar are you with rape? So Bond gets on a plane. Another just wonderful line. Felix says, I told the stewardess liquor for three. He's the only one on the plane. Not liquor for one, not liquor for two, like double the liquor. That'd be funny. Liquor for three. I'm going to drink triple the amount. I'm going to drink three-fifths. I'm going to drink two-fifths of liquor from Kentucky to Washington. That's like a two-hour flight. 3 hours, I don't know. I'm going to drink a fifth an hour. That's a power hour. None of this pussy six beers in an hour shit. So he gets on the plane and somehow Goldfinger has hijacked it. No one was watching any of this stuff. And they get into a fight. Oh, it's very dangerous to fire guns in planes. I even had to warn Pushy about it. And they fight, and it's a great death, him getting sucked out of that plane. And it crashes with this hilarious explosion. Just an obvious miniature little thing. And then Pond and Pussy fuck under a parachute, as you do, as we've all done. And then in credits, there's Goldfinger. There's the movie. I only have two fun facts for you. Goldfinger's finger wasn't actually gold, it was flesh-colored. Did you know that? And Goldfinger has a stepbrother named Nickelfinger. He's not quite as high up as Goldfinger, but it's nickel-plated finger. But anyway, there's Goldfinger. The perfect movie. Perfect Bond movie. And every time I go into it, I'm like, maybe I'm ranking this too high. Maybe it's like, is it really that great? And every time I watch it, it breezes by. It's the perfect Bond movie. And it's become in vogue now. It was, like, before I watched, I guess, like, Skyfall, and all growing up, I'd always look at these lists of top Bonds ever and all this. Goldfinger was number one on everyone's list every single time. It was just accepted as the best movie. No question. Goldfinger, number one. And recently, in the last 5-10 years, it's like From Russia with Love and Casino Royale are always the common ones, and Goldfinger's going down, and people like to hate on this movie. It's because they want to, like, go against the grain. Like, they want to be edgy. Like, oh, no, actually, Goldfinger's not that great. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, well, actually, you know, technically this and this and this. It's like with this recent love for Dalton and Lazenby. Nah, guys, we had it right the first time. And we had Goldfinger right the first time, too. It is the best Bond movie ever. Well, he's held hostage the whole time. Yeah, they were trying to make it seem in the third movie that, like, the villains were the most powerful because even Bond was held hostage. Because he wasn't really held hostage much in the first two. This is where they get the Bond formula down pat. The over-the-top henchman. The villain that is crazy. The car, the gadgets, the fucking song. Everything, man. Like, everything that makes up a Bond movie. The pre-titles, the song, the action, the gadgets, the villain, the henchman, the girls, the scenery, all this stuff. You could argue that each one of those in Goldfinger is the best they ever do. Like, you could say Goldfinger's the best villain of all time. You could say Oddjob's the best henchman of all time. You could say the song is the best of all time. You could say this is Connery's best performance, and maybe the best performance by any Bond in any movie. You could say Pussy Galore's maybe the best Bond girl ever. The car is certainly the best car he ever has, and the best gadget. It's, no pun intended, I mean, it's the gold standard for Bond. And I don't fucking appreciate this new way of thinking of From Russia with Love and Casino Royale. Great movies, don't get me wrong, but Goldfinger's still the balls. Okay, guys? So cut the shit. So there's your movie. Goldfinger just got overtaken recently by Octopussy for me. But objectively, I'd say Goldfinger's the best Bond movie. And if someone would say, I want to get into Bond, what's one movie I should start with? I'd say Goldfinger. Go for it. And do it. And watch it. And do it. So there you go. Stop with the new age thinking. Enough with that shit. Goldfinger's number one. Goldfinger's the balls. And that's all I got to say about that. Next time I'll be discussing I'm not sure what. And don't forget to check out Last of the Action Heroes podcast network. That's the network we're on now. People were insane enough to actually include this show. They want to put their name next to this show. Or have this show next to their name. They got Sylvester Stallone. They got Arnold Schwarzenegger. They got Steven Seagal. Bruce Willis. They got, who else is there? Donnie Lonergan. Jerry Van Dyke. Richard Dreyfuss. You know, all the staples of action movies. So, check them out. check all of us out. And if you're here on this show because of that network, you started watching Sly and all this stuff, and then you stumbled upon this show, much as we stumble in the studio here because of our drinks, well, then welcome. I'm sure this will be your first and last show, but I appreciate you spending an hour with me. So that's all you got. That's your full size. That's your big boy.